So I want to talk about there. I want to talk about how we get from here to there. But first of all, let's talk about here. And I just got to start by saying, I love this church. And that's not just what I have to say. I really, really do. When I go to other churches, of course you learn things. And of course there are things you think, oh yeah, we could do that. But I come away feeling like, I love this church. And I love all of you. And I love our vision. And I love the passion. I love, you know, Sarah was talking about all the people who are serving, the people who are giving. I love the sense of community, the hunger for more of God, the sacrifices people have made and are making, the generosity, all those things, the unity. I love being part of this church. And I think when Helen Browell spoke that fantastic message to us last week, she talked about all the things we were doing as a church. And I think she used the word, it's insane. And I thought that's quite a good word. It is a bit insane. You know, we've got fantastic, and I know, you know, I can say that because it might sound a bit arrogant because I'm preaching or whatever, but we've got great Sundays, right? We've got great Sundays. We've got great midweek groups. We've got great kids work. We've got great stuff for young people. We're running the community help hub, serving people in our community who are looking for work or need help with benefits. We're running a cap debt center, getting alongside people who are in debt, seeing their lives transformed as they find financial freedom and sometimes find Jesus as well. We've started the Hope Youth Hub every Friday night for local kids who don't know Jesus, who aren't part of church families, to come and find out more. We're stuck into things happening in our community. We've put on some great socials and outreach events. We're doing an Alpha course. We're pursuing a massive building project. It's incredible, and I just want to reiterate what Sarah was saying. Thank you so much to everybody who makes Hope Church happen, whether it's in small ways you consider small, or in big ways, anyone who serves, anyone who gives, anyone who prays. It's great. It really is amazing, and it's something to be proud of and to be passionate about. And actually, we're in a season now. We're not just trying to do like as many activities as we can. This is all stuff we feel God has called us into. And we're kind of in a season where we're feeling that God is calling us to stretch, to do more than we can actually in human strength do, because he's going to come and empower us. And I guess a couple of verses that have really spoken to me, and it was amazing at our Connect prayer meeting on Friday, somebody brought these verses again. Isaiah 54, verse 2 and 3. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. That's what I feel God would say to us, to stretch ourselves, to not hold back. You know, wisdom is important and caution is important, but there's a time when God says, come on, let's just do loads of stuff to impact the people and the community around us, to spread out. So here is great, but as fantastic as here is, we cannot stay here. We cannot stay here geographically, of course, but we cannot stay here where we're at as a church right now. Because without wanting to sound like I've got a split personality given what I've just said, here is not good enough. Here is not all that God has for us. God wants to move us from here to there. Let's be realistic about here. You know, it's possible to celebrate the good stuff and thank God for everything he's doing and not be a kind of doom and gloom, I'll only be happy when we get there kind of person. It's possible to not do that, but still be realistic about here. God has more for us as a church than to be 50 or so people hidden away. Our vision is to see many people find Jesus and find salvation and find new life through him and through the work of our church. For people in Bedlington to have their lives turned upside down by the gospel. For people in our friendship groups and in our families and whole communities of people to be transformed by Jesus. To make Jesus' name famous in Bedlington. And for his kingdom to reach out and touch every life and every situation and every circumstance. God's given us a vision not only for hundreds of people, why not thousands of people, to come to know Jesus through the work of Hope Church Bedlington. But not only has God given us a vision for that, he's given us a vision for one day, other works, other churches to be started out and planted out of this church in other towns, in Ashington, Cramlington, Blyth. We can name all the places, you know, for this word of the spiritual landscape of this county to be changed by planting churches. Because nothing can transform lives like Jesus. And Jesus' vehicle for doing that is the church. He doesn't have another way he's going to do that, except through his people. We have the good news. We have the answer. And here is not enough. And our vision, our there, is far too big to be accomplished in our own power. That's the kind of vision that God loves. If your vision is achievable in your own power, it's not a God-given vision. He gives visions that are only possible with his supernatural power. And last time I did a talk like this, I shared three things that I think are going to be vital as we as a church try and move in this season between here and there. These aren't so much three things like, we want to have a building or we want to start this ministry. They're three things that apply personally to each of us in our kind of spiritual lives and our walk with God and our the way we relate to what God's doing through Hope Church. Because it's very easy to be realistic about here. Some people are too good about being realistic or perhaps pessimistic about here. And it's quite easy to dream about there, to talk about what could be, to talk about what might be. But the rubber hits the road with, okay, what do we do now to keep on moving between here and there? Because God always moves through his people. He calls a Moses, he calls a Gideon, he calls a Nehemiah, he calls Isaiah. He doesn't do it instead of his people, he doesn't do it around his people, he doesn't do it despite his people. He does it in and through his people. And in the New Testament era, we are his people. The church is his people. It's not one individual here and one great man here and one great woman here. It's the people of God, us. So just have a little look around you for a moment. This is God's plan to transform Bedlington and beyond with the good news about Jesus. This is it. I don't mean to discount other churches. They are it too. But in terms of the way we think about it, this is it. There isn't, you know, there isn't some huge other group doing it. God isn't going to do it around us. God isn't going to do it above our heads. God isn't going to do it, you know, whatever. It's going to be his power, but he's going to do it in and through us. And he's going to do it through us stepping out in his power and his strength. So three things. Number one is prayer. And if you were here last week, you'll have heard Helen articulate the importance of prayer probably much better than I'm going to. But how important it is to building a godly community. But prayer is also absolutely vital if we're going to move forward into all the things God has for us. And this applies for us as a church. It also applies in your personal life. You know, we're all on a bit of a here to there journey in terms of God's call on our lives as well. It won't be accomplished outside of prayer. Because the vision God has given us is impossible in our own strength. You know, sometimes you ask yourself, sometimes in a kind of, because you're celebrating because someone's met with Jesus, sometimes when you're a bit down in the dumps because you're not seeing the fruit you want to, but you ask yourself, how does someone get saved? How does someone get convicted of sin and call upon Jesus for forgiveness and eternal life? How does somebody make that decision to put Jesus in the driving seat of their lives? How does someone get effectively added into the church family? I'll tell you right now, it's not through my clever arguments. It's not through your clever arguments. It's a work of God. We've got a part to play in it, but it's God's work. It's a supernatural move of God, and we have been given an awesome honor, but also an awesome responsibility of being able to usher in that power and that move of God through prayer. Will you join me in committing to praying for our vision as a church? to praying for one another, to praying for all the different ministries and different things we're doing, to praying for this building project, to praying for people we know who we want to see meet Jesus, to pray for growth, to pray for salvation. And a little bit later on, I'm going to ask you to do this by committing to doing one thing in your life to pray more. If you try and do 10 things, if you say, you know, I'm going to get up half an hour early, I'm going to pray, I'm going to go to all these prayer meetings, I'm going to pray every night with my wife, I'm going to, you know, whatever, it probably won't happen. But if you commit to doing one thing in your life to pray more, it might just happen. You know, it might be every minute, every morning, I'm going to spend 10 minutes in prayer. It might be, you know, I'm going to get up 10 minutes early. It might be on the drive to work, I'm not going to think about the working day. I'm not going to crank up the Capital radio or whatever. I'm going to pray. That is, you know, my life's busy, but that is a time when I can pray. And I'm going to be disciplined about praying, yes, for myself, yes, for personal situations, but for the vision of Hope Church as well. It might be, I'm going to start keeping a kind of prayer journal. Some people find that helpful, to find it easier to write down a prayer. I'm going to keep a journal of my prayers. It might be, you know, I am going to be short of, you know, family emergency or something major, I'm going to be at Connect Prayer every month. It might be, I'm going to choose one thing in the life of the church, one ministry, one activity, I'm going to make that my prayer project. And I'm going to commit to praying for that regularly. As I heard a great one the other week from somebody in our church. They said just every time they sat down for a meal, they prayed about their building project. I thought, you know, it's just a nice little thing, nothing elaborate, just for 30 seconds before you eat. I really believe that as we pray, God is going to move in power. And I thank you so much that you are a praying church. This isn't a sort of wrist slapping. This is, come on, let's do this more. Let's step out in this more. That's the first thing. The second thing, building relationships. These are the same points I said in January. We would all love the church to grow, right? Would we? Yeah. We all want to see people find Jesus. Yeah. It starts by building relationships with people. It's great to build relationships with people within the church. We need to do that. In fact, Jesus says it's by your love for one another that they will know you are my disciples. Actually, it's an evangelistic thing to love and build relationships with one another. But I'm talking about building relationships with those outside the four walls of our church, if you like. Because the church is not, you know, I did that thing where I said, look around you, you know, and look, this is us. The church is not going to grow by magic. It is going to grow supernaturally by the power of God, but that is different to it kind of growing by magic. It's going to grow through me and through you, building relationships with people outside of the church, loving them, spending time with them, making that friendship and that relationship a priority in our lives, sharing the love of God with them, inviting them along on a Sunday, inviting them to Alpha Course, whatever it is, but building a relationship with that person. And just like I did with the prayer point, I'm going to ask you in a few minutes to think of one relationship, or it might be a couple, you know, but not five people, one person or two people, who you are going to commit to. I'm going to build a relationship with that person because I love them and because I've got good news to share with them. You know, there's nothing manipulative about this. If we have found the greatest treasure that this world has to offer in the gospel of Jesus, building a relationship with somebody with the intention of bringing them to him is not a sort of sneaky thing. It should be part of all our friendships and all our relationships. One person. And maybe one thing you're going to do is the next step. Might be, I'm going to invite that person over for a meal. Might be, I'm going to invite them along to church next week. Might be, you know, going to go out for a beer or something. You know, and it might be for you, if you're really honest, you don't actually have any meaningful relationships and friendships with people outside of the church. You know, that's fine. We're being real today. Maybe your challenge is to find a way to get some. Invite the neighbours round. Doesn't matter if you've lived in the house for 5 years and you've never really said anything to them. Invite the neighbours round. Join some kind of club or activity. Do something to start to build a relationship. You know, in the book of Philemon in the Bible, Paul says, I pray you will be active in sharing your faith because it will benefit and enrich you. It's good for us. And I just want to say, you know, building relationships with people in the way I'm talking about can be quite awkward. To initiate something, to be the person who's taking a bit of a step, it's unusual. A lot of people in our culture and around us, and perhaps our natural default, don't really go out of their way to be friends with people, apart from those who are their family and the kind of people they just have fallen into relationship with through work or through growing up with them. A lot of people, that's it. That's their life. So when you're somebody who's a bit more intentional in the way you're living and is saying, I'm going to go out of my way to try and get to know people, to try and share the love of God with people, it can feel a bit awkward. It can feel like you're doing something that's a bit unusual. You're the weird guy who's always trying to arrange stuff and like spend time with people. I just want to be really honest with you. We need to get over it. We have the good news of the gospel. And we are called to go and make disciples. You know, if I remember correctly from Matthew 28 verse 18, Jesus didn't say, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples, unless it feels a bit awkward. Unless it feels a little bit culturally unusual to do so. Or unless it runs the risk of you looking a bit silly because they don't sort of reciprocate or they're not interested. We just need to do it. We are always going to be the ones taking the initiative. We are always going to be the ones taking risk. We are always going to be ones making the first move and the next move and the move after that. We will always have to be bold and intentional about doing it. It's just the way it is. I don't want to sort of stand before Jesus and he welcomes me into his kingdom and he says, you know, James, you could have done a bit more to share the good news with people. And my answer is it felt a bit awkward. I don't want to do that. But sometimes that is my excuse, if I'm honest. It's not good enough for me. You know, the reality is, unless we all build relationships with people outside the church won't grow. And we cannot rely on the community help hub and the Cap Debt Centre and the new youth hub as being the kind of evangelistic activities of our church. Me and you are the evangelistic activities of our church. Every single one of our lives needs to be the evangelistic activity of our church. Like Sarah was saying about that Alpha course, we don't want it to be a Hub Alpha or a Cap Alpha. We want it to be an Alpha where we, all of us, are inviting people we know and we love to come on this Alpha course. Prayer, building relationships, and the third one, same as the third one last time, a pioneering spirit. You know, a pioneer is someone who breaks new ground, who does radical things, who's kind of on the cutting edge of something new and exciting. And if we're going to move from here to there, we're going to need as individuals and as a church to be pioneers. We are a pioneering church. We're not a large, well-established, steady church. Maybe there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not who we are. A pioneering church means things change a lot. A pioneering church means we do a lot of things that are beyond our ability to accomplish without God. A pioneering church means we are called to invest our whole lives, whether that's time, energy, money, whatever, into the church in a way that is beyond the norm. You know, there are many people in this church who give up many, many evenings a week and lots of time and give incredibly generously into life of this church to help us move from here to there. And thank you so much for doing that. That's a pioneering way of life. And I know we all have different things going on in our lives. And the amount of time we can give, and the amount of gifting we've got, and the amount of health we've got, and the amount of money we've got. It's all different. This isn't about amounts. This isn't about number of evenings or number of pounds. This is about a pioneering spirit, an attitude of I am giving my life, I am giving what I've got to the vision of this church. You know, when you're somebody who preaches like me, you kind of, everything in life, you try and get like some kind of analogy you can use in a message from it. And when you're like my wife, Sarah, who's a biology teacher, you're always trying to teach people stuff all the time. So it's quite a good combination because she's always trying to teach me stuff about science and I'm always trying to work out how could I use this in a message. We were at Druridge Bay a few weeks ago and we were looking at the sand dunes and there was this grass and we actually had a joke about it because Sarah said, you'll try and use this for a sermon analogy, won't you? And I said, yeah, probably. But there were these sand dunes and Sarah pointed to some grass and she said, look, that's what's called a pioneer species. You can see it there, just that, the little bits of grass that just pop out of like the sand. And a pioneer species is a plant that grows somewhere before anything else can grow there. It grows in harsh conditions. It grows on a sand dune. It grows in the desert. It is the first living thing to grow in a particular place. And it puts down roots, and it's specially adapted and designed to develop and thrive in difficult conditions. And as it grows, and as it puts down roots, and as it draws up nutrients and then passes nutrients back into the ground, it changes the ground around it. And it makes a way for other plants and other life to flourish there, where before they couldn't. You know, before the pioneer species was there, nothing could grow there. But once the pioneer species is there, it can become a fertile place. You can't really see that, but you know, at the top of sand dunes, it often goes into kind of dense grassland and lots of different plants and lots of things going on. That's because the pioneer species was there first. And now all this other life has grown there. And it got me thinking, you know, we're called to be a pioneer species. You know, right now we might look at Bedlington, we might look at our church, we might look at Northumberland, we might look at our families, our friendship groups, our communities and think, there's not a lot of spiritual life in some ways. It's a bit like a spiritual desert. But that's when you need pioneers. People who will put down roots, people who will persevere, people who God has called and especially gifted to make a way. And through being here and investing our lives here and worshipping here and following Jesus here and trying to reach our friends here, we are going to change the spiritual ground and the spiritual atmosphere around us. We're going to make it fertile. We're going to make it a place where other people can come. People who perhaps aren't pioneers, but in time can come amongst us and flourish and grow and find life and find Jesus. Being a pioneer is tough. You're in a desert. You're going first. And as I prayed about it, it started as a bit of a joke, but I really felt God gave me kind of this new insight through this idea. And there's a passage that from Isaiah that's really been going around in my head lots, and I've always loved this passage, always felt it was about our church. And I'll just read it for you from Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 18. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness. And in the Old Testament wilderness, that would have been a desert. And streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. I love this passage and I believe that God would speak this passage over us today. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And it talks about God making a way in the desert, in the wilderness, in the wasteland. God bringing life and water and newness and vibrancy to a desert place. Is that not our prayer for Hope Church Bedlington, for Bedlington, for Northumberland, that God would bring life and the water of his spirit and vibrancy to places that are spiritually dead? And it talks about wild animals honoring him and jackals and owls coming. And this isn't really about animals. If you read the whole thing, it's clear. It's not talking about animals. This is people. This is unlikely people. People who are a bit like a jackal or owl, you know, wild. Not the people you'd expect, distant people, unspiritual people. But they are coming and finding new life Because where there was a desert, there is now something new that God is doing. But I felt like God, you know, would say to us about this passage today, for this to happen, it takes the pioneers. Just as in the natural, for this to happen, it takes the pioneer species. For it to happen spiritually, it takes pioneers. For life to spring up in a spiritual desert, yes, it's God who does that. But the pioneer species who were there first and who were putting down roots and who were changing and who were making a way for others to come. Those who were willing to go first. Those who were willing to lay down their lives. Those who were willing to invest everything. So I want to unashamedly call you to be a pioneer. To invest your life in what we're doing together as a church. Obviously, we all have other things that God has called us to. I'm not trying to say church is everything and, you know, what we do in our workplace and all that is insignificant. Not at all. We want to be a church that sends people out to bring the kingdom of God into every aspect of society and every aspect of work. That's part of the vision of our church. But to be people who invest our lives and are pioneers in what God is doing in and through us. To put down roots, if you like, not just physical roots, but spiritually, to say, this is me. This is what my life is going to be about. You know, I once heard somebody say, they were talking about in the context of being a church leader, they said, you've got three options. You can either be a caretaker, an undertaker, or a risk taker in your approach to advancing the kingdom of God. I think it applies to all of us. In the way we live, we can either be an undertaker, just sort of hang on in there, until we die. We can be a caretaker, just kind of manage and be content with what is. Or we can be a risk taker, a pioneer. So what does this look like in practice? Because you've probably guessed, I'm going to ask you to think of one thing you're going to do to be a pioneer. So in January, when I shared these points for the first time, I said that for some people, perhaps the pioneering thing is God might be calling you to move here to Bedlington. To where we're seeking to build church, to be a kind of pioneer species right at the heart of where we're trying to establish church. It would be an incredible thing if we had more people right here where we're trying to establish ourselves. In fact, I would go as far to say as we need that. We need that if we're going to have a transforming impact on this community. But there are other ways. That might not be for everyone. There are other ways you can have a pioneering spirit too. Maybe for you, it's you are going to invite someone on this Alpha course. And not just the kind of one-off invite, but you're going to persevere in inviting somebody. And you are going to, in the spiritual, you are going to see them there. Now, I don't mean you're going to strong-arm them, but I mean in your attitude, it's not just going to be, I've done my duty and kind of got it in there in a conversation. Would you come to this Alpha course? You're going to see them at this Alpha course. Or it might be, I'm not going to let a week pass me by without inviting somebody to come along that Sunday. The worst thing they can do is say no. It's not that bad. But I'm around people all the time. Every single week I'm going to invite somebody to come with me. Maybe for you having a pioneering spirit is to say, you know what, financially I want to give into the life of the church. Maybe it's saying, you know, I found myself in a position where, you know, I've got a bit of money. I want to invest that into what God's doing. And just for the record, you know, God isn't after your money, but he's after your life. And if we aren't pioneering for God in the way we handle our finances, we're probably not pioneering for him in other areas of our lives. Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What you do with your material possessions and what God has given you will be a huge driving factor. Maybe for you it's as simple as making a decision in your own mind, in your own spirit, that this church, this vision is something you are going to invest your life in. That might be a first-time commitment. That might be a commitment again after having made that commitment before. It could be so many things. I want to leave room for God to speak to people, but for all of us to make a pioneering, radical step that says, I'm going first. I'm willing to be a pioneer. I'm willing to lay my life down. A pioneering spirit. So I believe that there are three things God is saying. And as I said at the start, these aren't the kind of get a building, start this ministry. This is stuff for each and every one of us. Prayer, building relationships, and having a pioneering spirit. You know, it's so easy to hear what God's saying to us and not respond. Some of you might, as I've been speaking, remember me saying exactly the same three things and think, yeah, that just kind of passed me by, as lots of things do. Maybe you've been kind of plugging away at them, and if that's you, that's great. But I bet there are lots of people here who've heard this before, and maybe it didn't do anything with it, or maybe it started well, but it's kind of stalled a little bit. That's fine. I don't want anybody to feel condemned, but I am trying to call people, you know, let's do it. Let's do these things. You know, you were kind of pioneering something, but it's kind of fallen by the wayside again. You were praying more about our vision as a church, but it's kind of been lost again. Maybe it could be it's the first time you've heard these three things, but God might be calling you to join us in doing them as well. And what we're going to do in just a moment is we're each going to get a little piece of card. It's the size of a credit card for your convenience, for carrying in your wallet or your purse or your pocket or whatever. And on it, there are three gaps. It's prayer, it's building relationships, and it's pioneering. And I want to encourage you, and all of us, we're going to take a moment, we're going to write down on the card the one thing we're going to do to pray more, the one thing we're going to do, the one relationship we want to build, and the one thing we're going to do to be a pioneer for Jesus and for what he's doing in Hope Church. So there's not a lot of room on these cards, so you've got to write small, okay? If you're visiting us or you're not sure, you know, you're just sussing us out as a church, you're not sure this is where you're going to fit, you know, please feel free to not fill in one of these, but it might be that you want to anyway, and that's great. Everyone's going to get one and a pen as well, and I'd like us to do that. You know, we're going to play some music as we do and then lead into a time of worship. I'd like us to all do it, you know, seriously, with a bit of reverence. But after today, obviously, we might go home. We need to talk to our families if we've got them about what we've written down. And in groups and stuff this week, I'd love it if we could share with one another what we feel God's saying. But kind of for this moment, I'd love it to just be a personal thing for us to just listen to God, hear from God. You might already know exactly what the three things are, even just as I've been speaking. That's what we're going to do in just a moment. But before we do, Sarah, could you come and pray for us and then lead us in that moment? Thank you.
Yeah, let's pray. Well, Father God, we thank you for the privilege of being part of this church. We thank you for all the things you're doing in the here, all the things that weren't here this time last year that are here now, Father. That's you on the move, and we say thank you. We praise you, God, but we know that it's just the tip of the iceberg. We know that it's just the beginning, that you have more. You have a there for us. You have a there for us as a church that can only be accomplished by us committing as individuals to pursue you with our whole lives. God, you're not a God that just wants us to come on a Sunday and maybe give a little bit to the church and serve. You want all of us. You want our whole being, God, because you love us. That's what we were designed for, God. That's when things start making sense. That's when life fits. That's when life works, when we surrender everything to you, God. And we want to say, yes, Lord, we're in. Maybe for the first time, maybe for the thousandth time, we're in, God. We want all that you've got for us. Father, we ask, would you speak to each individual here now, in this moment, about the journey that you want to take us on this year, personally, with you. It's not a heavy thing, God. It's not a burden. It's not a do this better or do more of this. It's a come on, son. Come on, daughter. I've got an adventure for you. You've got an adventure for us individually, which takes us on an adventure together as a church, God. And as each person just spends time with you now, as we listen to the music and we sing a bit, God, just put things on our hearts about these three areas. God, speak to us, soften our hearts so we can hear. Let yours be the only voice in this room. You're so here with us now, God. Jesus. You just want to stay in this place, just you and God. Dream with God about your adventure with Him, and what He has for you this year. As Lynn and Stephen just give out the slips, just start filling that in about what He's putting on your heart. We believe in a God who speaks to us in moments like this.